Hello, this is Pam Rennie here with Everyday Alchemy, having a conversation that makes a difference. I'm joined by Dr. Gail Lash. Hi, Gail.
Hello, Pam. Glad to be here today.
We have a hot topic today, don't we?
We do. We do. I keep getting asked by people, and lots of friends have been talking about family issues, and particularly one friend was saying, why do I have the family I have, and how do I work with them? So I wanted to bring that to the table today and talk about that.
That's a huge topic. You know, it's interesting because in the many people I work with, we talk about how we don't feel like we fit into our families. Many of us on our spiritual path notice that we feel different, that we don't have some of the same things in common. It's a pretty big curiosity.
Mm-hmm. And we always know that, you know, we say you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. But actually,
yeah.
I believe we do choose our family. I believe when we are that spiritual being on the other side before we choose to be born, that we say, ooh, 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 give me this family because I want to learn these lessons with this family. Now, I know that doesn't sound like we choose our parents and our siblings, because, oh my gosh, who would definitely choose those? And some, you know, some are fantastic and others are push our buttons, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, from my experience, it feels like it's our families that give us the biggest lessons and the biggest challenges. And aren't we all here to really grow and develop and be the best selves that we are?
Exactly.
You know, early on in my training as a heart point technique master, one of our classes was called Healing the Mother Wound. I have to admit, I didn't like the title of that, and I thought, I don't have a mother wound. Well, you know, I found out I did. But it was an amazing protocol, template, if you will, of a healing. And the most magnificent thing that came to me, one of them, from that was this. We really do choose our parents. That we really do come together very purposely in these family units. And in part of that lesson, we really would go into that healing and find out why we chose this mother.
Exactly. And we'll see, I'm thinking that in quote, the normal world here, when we look at how things run in families, it's been scientifically documented that addictions can run in families. And sometimes we think, not necessarily addictions, but we think that there are many genetic things that run in families. But really, everything is energy. That's, of course, what Einstein said. So what we're really talking about is energetically things run in families. And there are tools we can talk about to actually deal with that and to change that and to make a difference. Not that we don't want to learn a lesson. You're absolutely correct. Families are here to teach us lessons and to help us grow in our spiritual development, in our energetic development. So, and one other thing, when I was taking training a long time ago in clairvoyant readings and being able to look and move energy, we would do similar to what you were talking about. We would put up seven generations of our on a timeline and look at the patterns that had occurred and see where energetically we were holding those patterns. And my job of, and I'm speaking as anyone, that my job as being a person here in my family is to end that pattern. In other words, is to raise above and to step out of that pattern. So, for example, if I came from a dysfunctional family or one with alcoholism, then my spiritual growth is to be able to step out of that pattern. And so there are ways to do that. But sometimes we just get caught up in the daily life of, wait a minute, why am I still having this same old pattern with my family, with my siblings, with my parents? And how can I deal with it? How can I set boundaries? How can I live my life?
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting too. So paralleling what you say, I have had that same experience that in my role, it is also to assist in breaking free of some of those patterns and having different choices. And I heard this little analogy that really benefited me so much a long time ago. And it was about, I feel that we make choices of our growth and what we want to experience while we're here and in our expansion. And some of those expansions are not always easy. And we might have a family member say, oh, wow, really, you're going to experience that? Well, I know about that. Let me come help you. And really, it's that combining effort of, well, who are some of our biggest teachers? Family.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I love what you just said. It's like we try to fix each other.
Oh, gosh.
And we can't. We're not to fix anyone else except ourselves.
Yeah, and there's that dance. So my journey has become that awareness of, from way back when I was young, to I'm really different than everyone else in my family, and why am I different? And I couldn't answer that back then. To, as I grew up, knowing when I grow up, I want my family. I knew I wanted to be a mom, and I wanted my family to be a certain way, and guess what I found out?
What did you find?
I got some pretty big lessons from my own adult children who, as they were growing up, and I found out that that white picket fence wasn't really for the whole family. I could choose happy, and I could choose my path, and I could teach them well and teach them what I wanted them to learn, but they were going to choose exactly the lessons they wanted for their own experience.
Exactly. I have a friend with two young children, and she was sharing with me that she realized that her job is just to raise them in a safe manner, to teach them the ways of the world that allows them to be themselves and to really express their talents and their gifts. And she chose to get out of the pattern of her parents of, you know, you have to be X or Y or Z. You have to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever. And you're meant to do this, to not dictate to her children what they are, but to allow them to blossom in front of her. And that's such a gift when we allow children to do that. Of course, we have to teach them the rules of the game. That's what I meant about being safe.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is, well, what are our gifts? And we are different from each other. So
yes,
that can get into some chaos in families sometimes.
You know, what a brilliant woman. I want to acknowledge that, because really that's a elevated parenting tool. And let's face it, they don't come with books. They don't come with a how-to book, you know. And my dance, as my children grew and as they became adults, and of course, I, as you know well, Gail, I have an 11-year-old at home, we're still doing that parenting dance, and it's a very different one now than when my bigger ones were little. But it really became about that law of allowing, the stepping back, the not trying to fix, the accepting, and you mentioned boundaries. I didn't know what boundaries were. I really didn't. Oh, I knew the term, but I didn't understand managing my own energy, and that really became what the path was about, managing my own energy and not projecting, not just to kids, but to my husband or to anyone else, really, what I thought they should do or be.
So, Pam, let's talk about boundaries, because, yes, that is really the key here. Each one of us is a unique soul, a unique human being, and we have our gifts and talents. We have the way that we look at the world. And, of course, we do choose our families to come into. So if I choose a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant family, I'm going to grow up white Anglo-Saxon Protestant and have those views in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean, though, that I don't go out into the world and learn new things and learn and develop my own gifts and my own talents and become who I am. And sometimes that does make us very different from the families that we were born into, that someone may go off and travel the world and develop a whole new ideology and way of being, that they come back home to a family reunion and suddenly they're hit with, wait a minute, you're thinking that way? That's the wrong, quote-unquote, way to think.
Exactly.
Or you know, your differences really begin to come out.
True.
So it's good to set the boundaries in the sense of, particularly for those family reunions, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all those holidays that we get together in, where everyone walking in the room, we have blood ties or cultural ties, but perhaps not a lot else in some regards. Different lifestyles, different ways of thinking. And it's all about, as we just were saying, fixing ourselves and not anybody else. So let's talk about a little bit about how we can create boundaries around us.
Well, yes, because it becomes really important, not the codependency or some of those other terms, and not, gee, I'm upset because this person's upset and more. And there was one other piece of that that just totally went out of my mind. But
being
hold on.
Neutral, perhaps?
Being in neutral, it's not the, okay, in the excitement on my spiritual path, as I've found so many tools and so many, I learned about energy. I was excited about that. And I also got to learn that in my excitement, that doesn't mean my husband's going to be excited or my daughter's going to be excited. So I learned to be selective, not secretive, but selective in how I shared. I'd listened for the cues. I would not expect them to adopt my new beliefs.
There you go. That's key right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's boundary number one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's not an order, but that's a keynote boundary. but add to that if you would.
Well, so number one, and I like that, not expect others to adopt our beliefs. And number two, to not be afraid to express who I am.
Mm.
In other words, there's a great saying that says, what you think of me is none of my business. And when you really start to look at that, it's like, whoa, that's huge.
I want you to say that again in a moment, because the first time I ever heard that, I know I, in my body, felt a hedging of, oh, really? But there is a big truth to that. It could be said in several ways, but I want you to say it again so whoever can really kind of absorb and feel what that really is saying.
It goes, what you think of me is none of my business.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a freedom in that.
Definitely.
There's a power in that. And there's that perception. How often have we done that dance in a relationship where we've thought someone feels or thinks a certain way? It's not true.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. We don't always know what's going on in the other person's head. We may project it and think it, but we may be really off, that there's something else that they're not sharing that would change the whole picture, the whole dynamic of it. And that's really where the beauty of, and let's just say, I've set my boundary, my energetic space, and there are tools to do this, and this, of course, is part of the class that you and I teach,
mm-hmm.
that when I set my boundary and I'm allowing myself to be me within myself and to express myself as me going through life, I can do so with, as you said, compassion, and you said with, I've forgotten the word exactly you used, but it was not secretive, but being selective. That's
selective.
What it was, being selective mm-hmm. of who what you share with others, because mm-hmm. some you have to be aware of what people can hear. And so it's not about as, well, I'll just give an example. For I used to teach at Living Foods Institute here in Atlanta, and they teach about raw and living foods as a way of healing the body. And so I could choose to go out and preach, everyone needs to be eating raw and living foods. And if you want to heal from all your diseases, you go to raw and living foods classes. But, you know, that gets tiresome. If someone has a health challenge and they hear that from someone, you know, if I were to be in their face about it, and that's not their path, that's not their choice, do we want to hear that? Of course we don't. So it's about being selective, as you just said, of what can people hear? What is it really that I am to share about myself with others that I can do so that we can have a good relationship, an amicable relationship, one that we can concentrate on what we do have in common, not so much flare up our differences so it doesn't feel good to be in a relationship, even if it's just family.
That's the big question right there. How do we do this spiritual dance? Many of us are on this spiritual quest. We're waking up. we're in our personal development, and we may be at a completely different place than our partner, than our kids, than our parents, than other people that we're still very connected to.
Exactly. So it's really about being in my own space with my boundaries and sending love and compassion and joy to the people around me and recognizing that they're dealing with their own challenges, just like I'm dealing with mine, and that they have joys that they want to share. And so it's about each of us listening to each other's joy.
Exactly. I shared recently with a client who was having a family reunion. And, you know, so many dynamics coming together, people traveling far and wide to come together. And where else but an event like that do we have the opportunity to feel five again, you know, to feel like a little girl rather than an adult. And we did an amazing body of work, and it ended with the intention that she was really going to be in the role of observing without reacting, allowing herself to be who she is and to be seen for who she is. And sometimes that might just be being quiet, or other times it might be engaging. But the key words were the observing, the not reacting to things, and to even being in that high frequency word. This may sound funny, but being amused. It's a big word.
Yes. And that's perfect. That's a perfect description, Pam, of being in that observer and really knowing how you can be in that amusement, that happiness, that joy. Because when we're in amusement, when we're in that laughter, we cannot be in fear. You just can't be afraid and be amused at the same time.
It doesn't work.
So when I'm amused, then I can put forth this comfortness, this evenness, this balance out into the world. That means I can hear you in a conversation if you were my sibling or my parent or my long-lost cousin at a family reunion. I can hear your story, and I can be present with you. And that's really what's important, is that we be present with each other and honor each other.
Yes. You know, when we hold that space, I'll just tell a personal story. Last Christmas time, I had a family member who was going through some really big stuff, and they were really uncomfortable and very nervous and very anxious. And I knew that, obviously, they were going to be coming to my home. And I was very selective and took the time, because sometimes it is that intention of how do I choose, and I chose to take some time and prepare my energy, because I thought I don't want to get sucked into their vortex of upset. So I was keeping myself in my space, not hard to do at all, and I was choosing to really experience happy. And the amazing part was I kind of forgot about all of those thoughts that I had consciously made that choice and that I thought they're really in this upset. And as the day went on, the person said to me, you know, I feel like I'm following you. And I hadn't noticed that, but they said, I just feel so much peace when I'm near you. There was no mention of fix me, I'm in this upset. It was they were being able to choose from what I was radiating, which was that happy, peaceful energy. And they were feeling that, and it allowed them to choose that as well.
That's a great example. Yes, thank you for sharing that.
That's a big lesson.
It is a big lesson. And that's a life lesson. You know, that's not just for a family gathering or for that one relative or for that one time. That's a life lesson. And I think that's what we're all here for, is, as we just said, we come in to learn lessons, and the families that we choose are here to push our buttons, you know, get us upset, really point out those places where we believe we're not okay. And then it's up to each of us to fix ourselves and to realize we are always okay. We are always in perfection, that we are children of the Creator, and we're here to experience this life in the most joy and happiness and amusement that we can, no matter what the circumstances.
So true. And, you know, let's get real for a minute too. Because sometimes we don't do our best work. And, you know, I could have had a different scenario. I mean, that whole experience was a powerful lesson for me, as well as the person. But we don't always do our best work, and we don't have to stay in an upset. I don't think we consciously realized years back that we had as much choice as we really do, for things aren't done to us. There can be an upsetting situation, maybe even a long-term situation that's a difficult thing to work through, but we don't have to remain upset. We can still be peaceful and even find happy going through something that's difficult.
That's a great point. In fact, there's a story, hope I can get this correctly, but it's about two monks that were traveling along a road, and they come across this old lady, and she needs to be carried across a stream.
Mm.
And one monk is really, the younger monk, is very concerned about this lady and getting her across. And so he puts her on his back because she's young and strong, and he carries her across the stream, and the other monk, who's older, wades with him across the stream, and they deposit her on the other side. And they go about their way. They keep going down the path. And the younger monk, several hours later, turns to the older one and says, "Do you think she's okay? Is she all right?" And the older one says, "You know, you've been carrying that lady on your back all these hours. Let her go." You know, he did what he needed to do, but we don't need to continue to hold the burdens of others, or we do the best we can,
mm-hmm.
and we move forward.
That story is so impactful, and it's so true. And in the simplest terms, what came to my mind was, think of if you've got a family member, I'm going to just use the example of they're traveling, and maybe you feel worried about them. All you're doing is extending that energy of worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when we have the awareness of our thoughts and reeling ourselves back in and going, "Oh gosh, I don't really want to put that on them, and I want to let go of that situation," we're doing such a great service when we do that.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I want to kind of mention that we're talking about some of our learnings and our awarenesses and how we have learned to navigate in our families. And really, the bulk of my learning has come through this path of Master in Alchemy. And I'm so thrilled that we co-teach this class together. And there are so many of these very simple yet powerful basic tools that we have learned that have really helped us navigate, help us have choices and different possibilities. And I'm so thrilled that I've had these experiences.
Pam, thanks so much for mentioning the Mastering Alchemy, because those tools are so important for me and you and all of our students that we've had out there, that to really know how to go to family gatherings and be in your own space, set those boundaries energetically, and choose to be happy. You know, we can choose to go into a family gathering and see the good in everyone, and we can choose to allow them to be just where they are, even if their life is having some ups and downs. And we can choose to be in that compassion and listen to their stories, and we can choose to share who we are, you know, really to be that person of, hey, I'm sharing my excitement of what I'm doing right now. And again, if you don't quite understand it, then what you think of me is none of my business. And,
exactly.
And I can still be happy about that.
And even beyond, it's not even, you know, the big events are important because those are the things we often look to, but it's really about every day. It's about each moment and every day having a tool to assist you in helping you make those choices. So
exactly.
Excellent.
So let's talk about that. We do teach classes that teach these tools. They're very simple, I will say, but that doesn't mean they're not profound and life-changing. And so we do a workshop together called Mastering Alchemy and Create Your Personal Power Field. And we're doing one this month in July, on Saturday, July 19th, in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an all-day class, a one-day intensive. We'd love to have anyone who wants to come to the class. Go to our websites and check that out. And go ahead and tell us your website, Pam.
Sure. You can find out more information about the Create Your Personal Power Field class and more about me, Pam Rennie, if you go to sacredjourneymentor.com. Again, that's sacredjourneymentor.com. And you can find out more about Dr. Gail Lash at...
You can find out about me and the classes at a couple of websites, but let me give you the one specifically for that class, and that is Alchemy of Peace. That's Alchemy, A-L-C-H-E-M-Y, of, O-F, P-E-A-C-E, peace, dot M-E, like me, alchemyofpeace.me. And it has information on these classes. And we're so excited to be teaching this together and teaching it this month. So come learn these amazing tools and add them to your life skills.
We have a great time, and it is one of those really life-enhancing days. So if you have any questions, please feel free to contact either Gail or I through our websites or email. And again, it's Pam Rennie at sacredjourneymentor.com or pamrennie.com, PamRennie.com.
And it's Dr. Gail Lash at alchemyofpeace.me. So thank you all for being here. We've really enjoyed it. And go home and have a great time with your families and realize that everything is all connected and we have lots of beautiful lessons to learn in this life.
Yes, enjoy. Many blessings.
Many blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye.